Okay, we're back in session. Let's see if we can figure out where we left off. Okay.
Yeah, he is. I guess
you've got to be. Could people please sit down? I'm sorry it wasn't as long a longer break, but it's really late. So, for my report, a couple of things. There was a road use summit. I think Carol reported on it. May 8th at the Cortland Grant road use on the, about road reservation laws. And Chris McConkie sent me a CD. So if anybody didn't get to go or did get to go and you want to see any more of it, just ask for the CD, please. On your desks, I put this notice of a Southern Tier Economic Development Council workshop next Tuesday, June 12th. At the Holiday Inn, 6 to 8:30 p.m. The Regional Council, this is, and we've talked about the process for funding applications for the next round of consolidated funding applications, but also for the money that we got in this 2011 round. The council staff had set up three of these workshops around the region, and the closest one would have been in Binghamton. I requested that we have one here in Ithaca, and we got that set. Many thanks to Fred Bond for coming up with finding a location for us, and many thanks to Joe for coming up with $250 to pay for the Holiday Inn. I guess we'll figure out how that works later. But the staff. The council staff really needed a quick decision. So please spread the word next Tuesday night. As you know, I was in Albany yesterday, not only talking about fracking and the letter from elected officials to protect New York, but I also met with Steve Aquario and Mark Levine at NYSEC. So let me start with that. I went there before the press conference about fracking, and it was a great meeting. A couple of tidbits. Carol had met with NYSAC staff, I'm not sure when, a month or two ago, about the tax issues related to gas drilling that have come out of her committee, and they have really looked at this and decided they want to make this a NYSAC issue. How are the taxes going to be structured if gas drilling is brought to New York? And I suppose it would be relevant even for existing gas wells, if horizontal hydrofracking doesn't happen. So Steve Aquario asked me to work with Carol and find some dates this summer, and he will pull together a meeting that will include Robert Megna, who is Governor Cuomo's chief of the budget, the division of the budget. So a very high-level meeting and to really raise the profile on this issue for NYSAC. We also talked about Medicaid, the issue of the administrative takeover. You remember I was on that workshop, the working group about that. They have completely ground that to a halt until the Supreme Court decides what's happening with the Affordable Care Act. So no progress to report there. They are looking very carefully at early intervention and special ed pre-K and takeover of long-term care as the three major items for mandate relief that they probably will focus on coming up. Regarding the committee to the elected officials to protect New York, I want to thank many folks here, most of you who signed that letter. We had a great press conference, and two of our representatives, Leah Colby from Albany and Jane Russell from the town of Pulteney, were on Susan Arbetter's show, and then Jane Russell and I were on Capitol Tonight last night. So we had good press. The governor decided to hold a press conference at exactly the same time as ours. So Dominic Frangillo, who was really the force behind this whole thing, his job was to call press. Many of them said, oh, well, I'd love to come to your thing, but I have to go to the governor's. So, I don't think anything happens in Albany by accident. So you judge for yourself. We did get, thanks to Barbara Lifton's efforts, did get a meeting for a half an hour with Governor Cuomo's Secretary for Energy and the Environment named Robert Hallman. We outlined our concerns. He accepted the letter, nodded, thanked us, et cetera. So He brought along one of his staff who immediately asked me about hydrilla and said, we're really glad we got some funding for you and I hope it's all going well. And I said, well, actually, as a matter of fact, you know, maybe not so much, that the funding isn't really coming as we thought it would. So he said, well, please call me if you have any problems. So that's a new contact opened up on that front. So sort of unveiled the website, nyelectedofficials.org, at the press conference as well, and there are now, something, I think, 289 signatures from 36 counties. They're not all up on the website yet. We're working on that. But this is an effort that I think is important and wasn't just a one-shot thing. We did try to say to Robert Hallman, we're the boots on the ground. Whatever happens, we're the people responsible at the local level. There were cities, towns, villages, and county governments all, you know, represented very broadly on our list. So we've really established some person-to-person contact with almost 300 elected officials around the state on this issue. And we said we stand ready to work with you. So that is really, I hope, an effort that that we'll follow up and we'll work to make sure localities have some say in how this goes, if it goes. So that's my report. Are there any questions? I have a couple of appointments. Thank you, Carol. Kathy? Yeah, Frank?
You mentioned the state is... It wasn't clear to me who would be taking over long-term care. You mentioned two or three items that are health-related. Can you repeat them?
Steve Aquario, we were talking about the mandate relief that's represented by the governor's package that was accepted in the budget, you know, the capping on growth that happens over 3 years. He feels that's a big win for counties. Okay. Basically, I think he's deciding we're going to move on to something else. He's going to call that victory and move on. And he's looking strategically at what's next for counties to try to get out from under the mandates. So he's thinking of if we can lobby for a complete takeover of long-term care. The state now pays 90% of the cost for long-term care. We're only 10%, but it's a big number. But if the state would just pick up that 10% and take care of that item entirely, that would help counties. So he was outlining strategy for next year. He also talked about the whole fight we had on early intervention and special ed pre-K this year, that where providers and consumers sort of beat that back, and they did very little on those mandates.
Is that one that he thinks the state may make more of a contribution towards than it has?
That they might? On the one hand, he said he wants to make that the next fight, and then he went on to say how impossible it was going to be. So, and I said, and you know, it's property taxpayers anyway. If you're going to push it from county budgets to school budgets, it's still a property tax. So I'm just sort of, this is just sort of a beginning of a discussion, and I hope we'll continue to talk to him about it.
When Tim and I went to Albany to speak with then-Governor Spitzer, they were interested in assuming the responsibility for that. But for
the state to assume the responsibility. Right, well, that would be a whole different smoke. And the governor's proposal this year to relieve counties of early intervention expenses was not that the state would take it over, it was that they push it to school districts.
Right. I mean, just coming out of the left pocket instead of the right.
Right, still property tax.
Thanks.
Okay, sure. And I have a couple of appointments to the Workforce Investment Board, Michael Tolarski and Carl Haynes, to the Civil War Commemoration Commission, Susan Curry, and to the Ithaca Metropolitan Planning Organization Policy Committee, Frank Proto as alternate. All right. Joe, no, it's not consent agenda. We did that already. All right. Thanks very much. County Administrator Joe Mariano.
Thanks, Martha. Just mostly some quick updates. I think all of you got an email about the next department head legislative retreat we're going to aim for late June, early July. Topic, as we've discussed before, is really next steps and follow-up to the recently released employee climate survey. And that remains our topic. So you will be getting, Andrea's been out for the last couple of days, you'll be getting a meeting wizard soon to check on availabilities for that retreat. I also wanted to let you know that legislation that would allow the Soil and Water District to be participants in the Health Benefits Consortium is actually moving along. And we have to thank Senator Seward and Assemblywoman Lifton for the work that they've been doing in the legislature to get legislation introduced. It would save the Soil and Water District around $19,000 a year. And I think we're going to want to talk a little bit more about that over the coming couple of weeks to see what we can do to encourage that. Hydrilla funding, Martha talked about it. I think the good news is it looks like the first $380,000 of money is in a pipeline to come here to help with eradication. And I think it's the first time I've seen a DEC letterhead that confirms that $800,000 is ours. It's been generic. It's been pretty cloudy up until the last week. And there's a letter from the DEC acknowledging that the $800,000 in this year's state budget is for hydrilla eradication in the Cayuga Inlet. So that's a step forward, and a lot of work is going on to figure out how we now draw that money down. I did want to comment on Mr. Hall, who was here earlier, spoke as part of the early part of your session, the attorney who talked about his discontent with some things in the Department of Social Services and process and so forth. Just so you know, and I won't go into the specifics of the issue, the general concern is the length of time it has taken to get a young person into a treatment program, and some frustration on his part about the pace of that effort. I don't want you to think that we've been non-responsive. There have been conversations with the department. I did get a phone call from Mr. Hall last Thursday. I promised I would follow up. There was follow-up through DSS, through its supervising attorney, who reached out to Mr. Hall, talked to Mr. Hall. My understanding of the conversation was it was a good conversation. It ended well with the resolution of some of the concerns. And as I heard and you heard tonight, apparently Mr. Hall felt otherwise in terms of his satisfaction with the outcome of the conversation. So I did step out and I talked to Mr. Hall and let him know if he would like to meet with me and others, that we would make that time available next week. So I did want to kind of put a punctuation mark on that comment that you received earlier tonight and let you know that we are following up. And that's my report.
Thank you, Joe. Frank?
Joe, on that last item, is there a role for the Health and Human Services Committee? Maybe it's premature to see if this thing can get resolved without involving the committee, but is there a need for us to be reviewing it at the committee level?
Don't know yet, Frank. I think what we will hear from social services is these are tricky cases, and it does take some time to move folks into a rehab situation. But I'd like to hear with my ears first and see if this is unique to this individual or if it's a systemic issue. If it's a systemic issue, and that doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong, it just may be the system, it works in a certain way, then I think that may be more appropriate for the committee to take a look at.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else? Thank you, Joe. Jonathan Wood, County Attorney.
I don't have a report.
Okay, thank you. David Squires, Finance Director.
Presenting the clerk with the report, the annual financial report that we have filed with New York State. I put on your desk a brief summary of what's contained in the report, and I must say, it's nice to be able to say it's a very positive report. We ended the year in every fund except the airport fund with operating surpluses. The general fund made significant improvements and its liquidity. I think of the biggest story was that is last year we were really sweating at year end in 2010. At the end of 2010, our cash position was like $9.5 million in the bank for the general fund at the end of 2010, which would last us probably about less than 20 days. with double that. Our cash position went up better than 60% from $9.5 million to $15 million. Our fund balance in the general fund went up $2.5 million. And every other fund went up by the low, at least 5%, with the exception of the airport fund. So I'm happy to present you that good news.
Thank you, David. Any questions? That is great news. All right.
I do have a question.
Sure, darling.
When there's a deficit, what do you do?
Well, what happens, it's typically, it's the equation is, do your revenues exceed your expenditures? If they don't, if the revenues are less than expenditures, then it is a decline in the fund balance. In the airport, their fund balance went down by about 50%.
This says there's an operating deficit.
Operating deficit meaning in that year, expenses exceeded revenues.
That's all that means.
That's all it means. When you talk about the operating result, it's either a surplus, break-even, or a deficit. Usually it's a mixed bag because it's not uncommon for expenditures to exceed revenues. If you think about, especially the general fund, because in many times the legislature may appropriate fund balance, which is not a revenue source, and that fund balance is utilized, and it results in spending more money than you took in. But it's a deliberate strategy. But it's always nice to say that we had operating surpluses in that for that calendar year.
Will.
I'm sorry, David. I didn't see the handout you handed, but to what do you attribute this positive?
Well, in the general fund, the budget's closely managed, but in the general fund, we were beneficiaries of strong sales tax, especially during the fourth quarter of the year. So the general fund balance went up $2.5 million. $900,000 was attributable to sales tax. About $1 million was the result of the stimulus lowering our cost. The stimulus monies in Medicaid lowering the weekly shares because part of it was being absorbed by this the federal money. And then, if you recall last year, the state, with the retirement bill, we ended up with about $600,000 less than we anticipated pay for the retirement bill because, well, frankly, our salaries were flat and the billings previously had been based upon projected increases for salary increases.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, David. All right. We can go to committee reports and resolutions. Dooley, you want to go or do you want to take a rest for your report?
Sure.
Okay.
Ordinarily, our next government operations committee meeting would be Friday, but it isn't because two of our five members will be out of town. So the Government Operations Committee has been rescheduled to Thursday, June 21st, at the usual time, 9:30 to 12.
I didn't hear it, 9:30?
Pardon?
What time does it start?
9:30.
Okay. Thank you.
And there was one resolution pulled off of consent.
Right. Go ahead.
But does anyone have any questions about my report?
Go for it.
So the resolution that was pulled off because it was not unanimous at committee is Resolution G, authorizing a supplemental consultant agreement with CNS companies to conduct an airport pavement management system.
No, that's F and I.
That's the wrong one. Which one? I'm sorry. F. I
can't. No, F is off altogether.
I'm sorry. I am totally confused.
You got your other committee hat on.
I need
that's
to go
okay.
home.
All right. Okay, thanks, Dooley. Planning Development and Environmental Quality Committee, Will Burbank.
Thank you. We'll be meeting tomorrow at 3:30, and one item on our agenda will be a proposed local law that would give us a greater ability to control the invasive plants and creatures in our waterways. And so we will be discussing a revised version of that, and I believe it will also be discussed public safety and then coming to us. And we'll also be hearing about the strategic tourism plan, and which will be available for public comment shortly.
Thank you, Will. Any questions? All right, Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. We have a lot of work that's being done outside of our actual committee meetings right now. And I just wanted to mention a few of the things that will be, various people will be participating in prior to our next meeting, which is on June 25th at the library, Tompkins County Public Library at 5:30. And people are welcome to attend that meeting. Tomorrow, Paula Younger, along with two members of our committee, Rick Dietrich and Gary Reinbold, will be attending a session. It's called a roundtable discussion on rural broadband. It's being co-sponsored by Senator Gillibrand and the United States Department of Agriculture. And it's specifically to talk about the challenges of providing broadband service in rural areas. So they will be driving over to Cooperstown tomorrow to participate in that roundtable. On June 11th, we'll be having the extra town community forum that we talked about at the Enfield Town Hall. That will start at 7 o'clock. On June 12th, Paula and I, and perhaps some other members of the committee, we're not sure about that yet, will be attending the workshop at the Holiday Inn on the consolidated funding application for the Governor's Regional Economic Development Council funding process. And I want to thank you, Martha, for helping to make sure that that got set up. So that's all of this work has to do with helping us prepare to take next steps in implementation of the broadband project. And I hope to have more to report to you on that. I'll be reporting to a couple of our standing committees this month, the Budget Committee and the GO Committee, and then hopefully back to the legislature before too much longer.
Thanks very much, Pat. Any questions? Thank you very much, especially for all that work that's going on. So Budget, Capital, and Personnel, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you. Let me go right to the resolutions. J, it's a budget adjustment for the District Attorney's Office. It's the amount of $21,000 because the state legislature increased the salaries of DAs and judges, I believe.
So moved. Second by Brian. Any questions? All in favor? Resolution. Short roll call on Resolution J.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Chock?
Yes.
Anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
Item K, establishment of guidelines and fiscal targets for all county budgeting units for the preparation of the 2013 budget. There have been a few minor changes, and I accept those changes, and I will move that resolution.
Seconded by Pam. Discussion? Ready to vote, then. All in favor of revised K? Please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I didn't see Leslin or Pam.
Oh, I voted.
She said aye.
I couldn't see. Okay.
She said aye.
I heard her say aye.
All right. And Pam, you were aye. Okay.
I put my hand up there for some.
All right. That is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, Jim?
Item L, urging the Mandate Relief Council to take swift action in submitting a package of mandate relief proposals to Governor Cuomo and the state legislature to be voted on this session. I would move that with minor changes.
With the revisions?
I'm sorry.
Revisions?
Yes, revised.
Second by Pat. Discussion. Frank?
Just a clarification. In our folders tonight, under correspondence, There are two items, one from Chenango County and one from Fulton County. Basically, of course, the headings are there. We don't have the entire resolution in the packet. Since we've included NYSAC on ours, Martha, you've been sort of the point person on a lot of this. How effective is it that every single county is, well, it appears that there are a lot of counties asking for the same thing. I mean, are we beating a dead horse here, or, no pun intended, with the Belmont coming up on Saturday?
Well, as a general matter, I think the fact that counties and multiple counties pass a resolution with the same or similar title is a great thing. I think it does show solidarity, shows that a position is widely held among diverse counties. This one, Joe and I have talked about this. This came into the email, and frankly, we thought it was awfully late. The budget was passed months ago, and that's when we thought the real action should have been, and we didn't get much support to try to rally the troops. So, but we also thought, sure, why not pass this resolution to show support along with other counties? But, and I did talk about this with Steve Aquario a little bit. I think he kind of agrees with us. You know, he really would have liked to have had more activity among the counties back when it would have meant challenging the governor, because the governor had a particular package of proposals for mandate relief, and there were some critical county executives, critical in the sense of key county executives, who didn't want to challenge his position.
Well, what about the Senate and the Assembly? You know, in the last election, everybody made a big splash, including the governor, about how much they were going to do. I mean, we've been talking about the same thing now for several years. We keep passing resolutions, and they keep thumbing their nose at us.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you want to go?
Yeah, I do. Frank, the Assembly doesn't thumb their nose, the Senate does. But I think what we're really doing here with this resolution is being collegial in nature with the rest of the counties who are involved in NYSAC. Clearly, it's been said by us way before that we needed to. The state need to do a better job in this, and they haven't answered that challenge yet from counties like ours and a few others. So I think what we're doing now is kind of banking some things with our friends in NYSAC and saying, all right, we go down the road, maybe you all will listen to us a little bit more, because we're not as crazy as we actually appear sometimes, that we do actually have good thoughts and put them out early before some other counties do. So in that sense, that's why I think we should support this resolution. All of us know full well what the real world is in Albany, New York. So I think it's a little thing, but it's a little thing that carries a little bit with it with all our colleagues in the rest of the NYSAC organization.
And just to make another distinction, this is about the Mandate Relief Council.
Right.
Which is considering things like, should we have to send the report up in triplicate to the Department of Health? You know, I mean, sure, people should streamline the processes, but the kind of things that the Mandate Relief Council is considering are almost none of them going to help us in a significant way financially. The things nobody wanted to challenge the governor on were the things that would cost the state money. That's not what these are.
Well, I mean, my admiration for NYSAC is second to none, okay?
Well, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, well, because Steve Aquario is listening, that's why. The thing I'm concerned about is we pay a pretty hefty sum to be NYSAC members. What is it? It's over $5,000 a year? Mm-hmm. Something like that? And I realize they want to pick and choose the issues, but both the Senate and the Assembly are up this year. And I think we ought to do more than just send resolutions. And maybe it's time for NYSAC, instead of poo-pooing it. Now, I know they've been effective on certain things. And I know, you know, you're not happy that the Senate sort of stepped aside on this and the Assembly's gone forward. Well, my concern is I don't think NYSAC, you know, some of this has fallen on deaf ears. Because they've played this game before and they're picking their shots. Between you and me, the amount of money that we pay them to be members, I really think we ought to get some action out of them, Jim. And I would, Martha's been very effective at staring down Sheldon Silver on one or two occasions. Maybe we ought to try a different tack. I mean, we can send a lot of paper, and it's, you know, that's great, but it isn't going anywhere.
Jim?
What did they say in court? No cross-examination. I have no comment for that part. I'll leave you with that.
Yeah, Frank, you're right. And when this came up in February at NYSAC, and Tom Santulli, Chemung County executive, was all hepped up about how we're going to challenge people and we're going to tell these senators that we're not going to support them if they don't pass real mandate relief. I said, well, you have to have somebody else to vote for then. And because of redistricting, Frank, there are a lot of people that don't have anything to vote. They don't have any opponents, or they're in districts that are impossible for a challenger to take on. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, obviously.
Can you get your dander up on this issue the way you did on fracking?
Okay, Joe. Would you tell the people how my dander's been up on this one?
Point of order. What's before us at this point?
All right, we're talking about the wisdom of this, sort of the strategic value of this resolution. And I think it's certainly worth the paper it's written on. So, with that, maybe we should just vote. I completely agree with you, Frank. This isn't really the place to deal with the geopolitics of New York State.
Jim? It is, though.
Okay.
Let me give a statistic that I think is accurate, that 92% of incumbents in the Assembly and State Senate get reelected every 2 years.
Ready to vote on revised L. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay. Is that it, Joe? We got another one. M?
Yes. M, calling for an amendment to the Constitution to abolish corporate personhood. And I would move that.
Seconded by Kathy. Discussion. Kathy?
Thank you. I was really glad to hear the discussion on the previous resolution about urging mandate relief, because many of those arguments are the exact arguments I would make, and that is that it's important for us to pass an amendment that's got a title that's nearly identical to ones that are being passed in, well, actually it is identical to ones that are being passed in communities across the country, that it's a way to put elected officials on notice, especially in an environment where free press, free speech by corporations is raising the amount that's being spent on elections, as those who are watching the Walker recall election can attest, 40 times the amount that was spent in previous elections and way outspending opponents. Corporate speech is something that many of us want to address. And across the country, there's a strong sentiment, not just from people in the Occupy movement, but also from people who are concerned about the impact that corporate finance can have on public elections of elected officials. And this could filter down to the local level in a heartbeat, y'all. I feel strongly that we need to pass something, and pass it very soon, that is very similarly worded to what was brought forth by MoveOn.org. I believe that it's a way of not just putting folks at the next elected level and the next elected level on notice, but it's a way of letting people across the country know that we stand in unison, that we can take these same words, and that somebody that like a certain president we know, can take these and can go to the powers that be and can say, we've got to do something about this. Be clear that I am suffering under no illusion that the wording on this is going to promote some legislation change tomorrow or even the next day. I believe that what's important here and what's at stake here is us showing solidarity with people across the country who see the injustice of this, who see the fact that it's not only not democratic, it's disastrous to a free country. And that's why I brought it forth, and I got much help. Actually, WDIC brought it forth, and I think Leslin got many comments about it and has been instrumental in moving this forward and probably has something to say about it. I know that there are two other resolutions, and I know that some people may be under the impression that it's already been decided tonight as to what's going to happen. I hope that's not true, and I hope that y'all understand that the public would really like to see us, just as was argued with the NYSEC resolution, move this forward in the clearest possible language that is identical to other language as soon as possible. And that's the spirit in which I brought this forward independently tonight. Just think, if we voted on this and accepted it tonight, we wouldn't have to look at it again in 2 weeks and parse the language, because this is what MoveOn.org has suggested. I also understand that there are some people who would like to see stronger anti-corporate financing of public election language in there, and I believe that that's the issue that should be peeled off and a separate resolution should be brought forth on this. I believe that this is the one that has the most support across the country, that people will recognize as being from the Move to Amend folks. And I'm sorry, I've been saying MoveOn.org. I mean Move to Amend. And I'd like to ask that people respect the legislative process that brought this forward and consider voting on it tonight.
Thank you, Kathy. Mike, Tim, did you have your hand up? Mike.
Kathy certainly has a lot of passion, speaks very well about this, and I think it needs an opportunity to be aired. In Budget Committee, some of us discussed this and the idea that there are these other two resolutions out there. Some of the, at least one of the people that brought one of those forth couldn't be here tonight. I would think it would make a lot of sense to move this over to our next meeting so that we could look at all of them and maybe adopt more than one at the same time. I've thought that there were more than one issue here that could be looked at. And in that spirit, I'd like to move to postpone this resolution for 2 weeks.
Is there a second? Jim seconds that. So the discussion on the floor is whether to postpone for 2 weeks. Will, Kathy, Leslie.
I join Kathy. I really hope that we consider the merits of this resolution and that we vote on it. I was very sorry to hear to see that the other two were postponed. It would make sense, Mike, to do it together, but because they do somewhat overlap, but not completely. But I think it's perfectly reasonable for us to consider the merits of this, and I think it's a strong resolution, and I will support it.
You mean to vote tonight?
And I want to be able to vote on that tonight.
Okay. Kathy, then Leslie.
I'd just like to question whether Victor Tiffany had an insight into some private information that the fix was in and that this was going to go back to committee, things that certainly this legislator was not informed about, because he seemed to think that we would be voting on three next week, even though this was on the agenda. And I'd like to urge my colleagues to vote your conscience and vote for a democratic opportunity to vote on this so that we actually get an opportunity to vote on this resolution instead of sending it back to committee.
Jim, before Leslie, let's answer that specifically.
Okay. I just want to respond to Kathy as best I can. I was surprised when I heard what he said also, because I knew full well that we were bringing this resolution to the ledge, and you know, I wasn't certain what was going to happen to it. Nobody on the committee, at least I'm aware of, said anything to anyone that the fix was in. It was not. If I can report quickly on the committee meeting, there were four of us there, and my sense was, had I not supported it, it was not going to get out of the committee. And I felt like, as a chair of a committee, that I needed to bring this to the full legislature. It was not up to me to defeat something at a four-member level because Nate was not there. So we brought it, and you know, here we are with Mike's motion, which I'm, by the way, I'm going to support. So you know, just for the record.
Leslin, then Pat, then Dooley.
So I too, Jim, I didn't quite hear what you said in the first part of that, but I too hope that we can vote on this resolution tonight. I'm sorry that Nate, if I read this right, the report, the resolution coming from committee was not at the meeting, and I cannot sit here and speak for Nate, but he was fully supportive of it at WDIC and wanted to move forward. So I'm sorry that he was not at the committee meeting. So I hope that we can all vote in support of this. And I have, like Will, I have no qualms on considering other resolutions that might come forward. I know we had some before that were pulled from the agenda, sent back, and here we are again. So please let's take a stand, and we can still consider others that are coming forward. Thanks.
To be clear, the motion is not to send it back to committee. It's just to refer to postpone consideration until our next legislature meeting. Pat Nanduli.
As has been pointed out in other discussions, we never know for sure who's going to be here and who's going to be absent. So, you know, it's possible we could have someone absent next time, too, that I could be really wanted to be able to vote on these. So I personally have no problem with voting on this tonight and then considering the other two next time, and in fact supporting more than one if I think that they merit support.
Dooley?
Two things. With respect to Victor knowing anything, I did him the courtesy of telling him I was withdrawing the two that had gone through GO because Peter Stein, who had authored one of them, requested that we not consider it till he could be present, and he knew he wasn't going to be able to be here tonight. So I did tell Victor that two would be withdrawn. I didn't tell him anything about this other one that's member filed, so I don't know what fix you're referring to. I just thought I would tell you that what I had done. I will most likely support this postponement one because I think it's more productive to consider them all at the same time.
And it's not member filed. It's coming. It came through the committee.
I'm sorry.
It didn't just come through budget.
I'm sorry.
It also came through WDIC for the second time.
It was previous meeting that it was member filed. I beg your pardon. That was a misstatement.
Carol?
Yeah, I haven't been part of any of these discussions, but it seems to me that corporate personhood has been enough of an evil influence in everything that we do, that it doesn't hurt to have more than one resolution. It's on our agenda. We've taken it off before. I don't see what the problem is with passing this one tonight and then also passing additional resolutions that get at the issue in slightly different fashion at a future time, whenever that's ready to come back to us. So I would support keeping this on the agenda, passing it, and in addition, I will pledge that I will not, if this comes back to us in the future in another form, say, well, we already voted on that, so I'm not going to pass the new one. I will vote for both.
Jim?
Call a question, please.
Is there a second? Second by Dave. All in favor of calling the question on whether to postpone, please raise your hand.
Aye.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. To 4, 9 to 4. That passes. So the question is called on whether to postpone this till the next legislature meeting, which is June 19th. Kathy?
I'd like to have a roll call vote, please.
Sure.
Mr. Dennis?
Yes.
Ms. Herrera?
No.
Ms. Keeper?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're voting on the
postponement.
Right. I voted yes.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. Mackesy?
No.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
No.
Mr. McKenna?
No.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Pryor?
No.
Mr. Robison?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
No.
Ms. Chalk?
No.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes, I didn't get a chance to speak, but yes.
Four ayes, nine noes.
So motion to postpone fails, so we're back to discussing the resolution itself. Dooley.
If this is going to pass, I would ask that line 4445, which references the move to amend campaign, be struck, because there are several reputable campaigns going on, all asking for this. And to tie this to just one of them doesn't seem right to me. I think of groups like Common Cause and the ACLU, who are also pushing for the same thing.
Okay, wait. Who moved and seconded?
So I'm moving to
it was
remove that
by
phrase.
Jim and seconded by Kathy. Is that friendly?
No, I wasn't seconding.
The original motion? Did you second it?
If you're asking whether it's friendly, I want a chance to discuss it. What did Jim say?
I'm sorry?
Okay, we're talking about lines 44 and 45. Dooley, you're saying, so for example, it would say local governments across the country to call for an amendment to the Constitution.
Yes.
You're saying in the move to amend campaign would come out?
Yes, because
okay.
That is a specific entity, and there are other equally reputable ones calling for the same thing.
Okay, so rather than discuss it, is that friendly to the mover and seconder? Or if not, we'll discuss it. Kathy and Jim?
Please say it again. What do you want to change?
Just stick up.
I wanted to take out the reference to in the move to amend campaign, because move to amend is only one of a handful of organizations that are pushing for this same thing, and it doesn't seem right to me to single out just one when there are others, and I mentioned two, Common Cause and the ACLU.
Oh, I see. That's a specific club, in move to amend.
Specific group.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine with me.
That's okay with you, Kathy?
Here's what I have to say about that. This is a move to amend resolution, pretty much word for word, and that was part of my argument, that it's nice to have that. However, I understand what you're saying about lots of different resolutions from lots of different organizations. So even though I'd like to see move to amend in there, I'll go with that because I want to be flexible. I'd love to see this passed tonight. So it's friendly.
So that is out there. Do you have which parts go out? Okay. Any other discussion? Well, I will just say I will support this. I did prefer to have all three of them side by side to vote, to look at them together, but I'll support this one tonight and appreciate having it in front of us. Anything else? Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution M?
Can I ask for a roll call, please?
Sure. Okay.
Mr. Dennis?
I want to pass. I can't do that?
Nice try.
I can't abstain.
You could ask.
For lack of information.
You could ask for
I've seen other people do that.
I'll take your proxy.
You want to ask for permission to abstain?
I think it's the wrong way to go, and it's so symbolic that it's almost frightening. But I'll vote for it.
Is that a yes, Jim?
I think that was a yes.
I said I'll vote for it. I'm really concerned that, you know, this man had a resolution. I know Nate was going to support it. He supported it everywhere I can think of. And, you know, no one has the wherewithal to say put it off for 2 weeks. I'm really surprised at that. But you got my... Yes,
okay.
Vote.
Okay.
Do we all get to make a statement when we vote?
No.
In a mild-mannered sort of way.
Ms. Herrera?
Yes.
Ms. Kiefer?
Reluctantly, yes. I'm very disappointed in the process.
Mr. Lane?
Yes.
Ms. McAsey?
Yes.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. McKenna?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
No.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes.
Mr. Robison?
No.
Mr. Burbank?
Yes.
Ms. Chalk?
Enthusiastically, yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Yes.
11 ayes, 2 noes.
All right.
Thank you all.
Jim, is there anything else in your report?
Yes, the next meeting is June 25th, 3:30. We will be hearing some more from the Broadband Committee. Pat is going to be a regular part of our meeting until everyone in Tompkins County has broadband.
That's right.
All right, thank you very much, Jim. Public Safety Committee, Brian, Brian Robison, Vice Chair.
Thank you. We have a meeting tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I will point out that there are three resolutions to consider, all dealing with hydrilla. And as a discussion item, I know it's an item that has been discussed in this body before, but it's coming up again, and that is secure communities. Mm-hmm. Anybody would like to be present for that? 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Kathy?
I know that you don't have to answer this right now, but I just want to, I'm on a sustainable listserv, and it appears there's some discussion in the community that the herbicide that's being used on and is proposed for continuing to be used on hydrilla is more potent or more deadly than was previously thought. And I don't necessarily know for sure that that's true, but I do know it's being discussed in the community. So I hope if y'all have any more information on that, you'll forward it out to us and to the community, because these are really tough decisions to make about how to eradicate it. And it was a decision that we made kind of under duress. And I believe that with the support we got from the community, it was a good decision. But as new information comes in, we might need to reassess the situation. So
okay, and I will certainly pass that on to committee. My gut tells me that we're on a bit of a timeline as far as what we're going to do, or we have to do something, but I will certainly pass that along.
I'll tomorrow. Try to remember to send you the email that talks about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay, Will and Dilly.
So, actually, I think, Kathy, what might have prompted this, there was an opinion piece in Saturday's paper by Brian Caldwell, who raised concern about the a multi-year use of Enderol, which was the herbicide. And I think this would be an appropriate thing to discuss in PDAC and, of course, the task force. What we're going to be – what I believe Public Safety is going to be talking about is the more generic law controlling invasives and giving us some ability to regulate that. So.
Thanks.
Julie?
I had a chance to talk to Steve Flash today to give him some of my concerns about the evolving local law, and I won't be able to come to Public Safety or PDEC tomorrow. So I wanted to just let you know, Brian, that one of the things that's not in there now, which I'd like to see in there, if it's possible, mm-hmm. is an actual reference to the examples of law enforcement who might be involved, namely the Sheriff's Department, New York State Park Police, and other local police or conservation officers. There had been an attempt to list some of those once, then they were taken out in a redraft, and I think that it would be good to have a hint of what we're thinking of in this. So if you can figure out a way to do that, I'd be grateful.
Okay. And you're talking about during the application process itself?
I'm talking about how the law will be enforced. It'll be enforced similar to vehicle and traffic law enforcement, but not necessarily just through appearance tickets. It could also be an arrest on the spot. So it would be nice to list which local law enforcement agencies might be involved in enforcing it. Did that make sense? Steve will probably understand.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
Okay.
But arrest on the spot's got to be something more significant.
Yes, it does. But some law enforcement people want to have that ability, I believe. But that's your department. That's
right,
not my
right.
department.
We're going to have law enforcement people there, so I will bring that up.
Yeah. All right, Frank.
I want to address an item that Will just brought up. The op-ed piece that was in Saturday's paper by Brian Caldwell contains some, not intentional, but some misinformation. And just to let you know, as chairman of the Water Resources Council, I've asked the special committee that we have had addressing the situation to review that letter, that piece, and draft a response.
Good.
And that response is being circulated to the executive committee of the WRC, and I intend to sign it and get it to the journal as quickly as possible because of some of it. I'm sure Brian unintentionally there was some unintentional, I'd like to believe, information. Two pieces was the comment about what Virginia and Florida are doing. And just so you know, they're talking about containment because the hydro is already there. They're dealing with it, and they're cutting waterways through for boats to get through. It's well beyond eradication in both of those states and those areas. Here, we're going for eradication. The other that is a little impractical is setting up a net. His suggestion about setting up a net in the inlet to catch any fragments, that may sound pretty easy to do, but it's pretty impractical in this particular situation. So just stay tuned. I was going to report on this at PDAC tomorrow. I probably will anyway, Will. Yeah. But just so you know that there's an alternate letter coming.
Thanks. Brian?
Yeah. First off, this chairmanship, I wasn't aware of it till I got here tonight, but that's okay. Tomorrow, my guess is that in addition to law enforcement, there will probably be someone, or there should be someone there from WRC, seeing how we're talking about these issues, and the Hydrilla Task Force, I'm assuming.
Does anybody know what Peter's prepared?
I don't. I can make some calls tomorrow morning to make sure the right people are there.
Okay.
Who do you want there, Brian?
Well, somebody from the Hydrilla Task Force.
Nice.
We have a PDAC committee meeting. I think it's at the same time, isn't it?
No.
I'm simply going by the questions that I'm hearing want answered. And there was a law enforcement or an enforcement question, and also things to have to do with the process that I'm not aware of.
What?
And those folks, I would think, would be.
The person.
I mean, I think if Roxy comes, she represents the task force and the WRC,
She is the chairman of the special committee that I appointed. So if you can get Roxy to come, that would be ideal. If she had the best information.
I'll call her. I can't guarantee that she can be there, but I'll call her.
Pardon me?
She's
a
city employee.
Well, the city's got a lot. The city has got a lot at stake here, but leave it up to her.
Yep. All right. One person, two hats. Dooley.
Yeah, I would like to comment on Brian Caldwell's op-ed piece. I thought he chose his words extremely carefully. He's a very thoughtful person, and he was writing in his role as an organic farmer, not in his role. He has other roles in his job also. I didn't think that there was blatant misinformation, but I can see how you might have read it that way. I think his caution about seeing chemical application as the only approach is something that needs to be looked at extremely carefully. We were in an emergency situation the first year, and we did most of what we had to do, but we didn't shut the inlet down long enough, in my opinion, which allowed fragments to travel further. And it's possible to use really fine netting. That really has not been looked at, so it's not an off-the-wall suggestion. As I said, I thought he chose his words very carefully, and I respect his opinion very much. That's all.
So the committee has a lot to go with, and we appreciate your being...
And that's not going to be part of public safety's discussion at all, because it's treatment, and you're talking about law enforcement and a law. That was what I was going to say. I don't think there should be a lot of discussion about the treatment.
Right. That sounds like more like a PDEC thing.
Yeah.
Okay. All set?
Yeah, I would have thought there would have been more discussion on secure communities, but...
That's a horror.
But I'm sure there will be ample time for that.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much, Brian. Appreciate it. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McDean, Clairvoyant Chair.
WDIC, when we met, did talk about secure communities. It's an issue that we will be looking at. We had brought the resolution before this body, asking for the state, the governor, to opt out. And now, you know, we're hearing, and we had anticipated that, about a mandate that states have to be involved. And so we'll be looking at that again. We talked a little bit about it at our last meeting, and we'll look at it again as it's coming up. Our discussions also centered on some of the expectations and direction for the upcoming legislature department head retreat regarding our workplace climate survey and advising the committee that's setting it up on, you know, what are some of the expectations coming out of the BDIC. We will meet again on, and the resolution that was passed is the other, on corporate personhood is the other thing that we talked extensively about. Coming up on June 27th is our next meeting. We had the opportunity a few meetings ago to watch a short video from the City of Seattle. The City of Seattle has been doing some amazing work on race and social justice. They have a race and social justice initiative. So we saw a very short video on some of the work they have been doing. Very impressive. And so on the 27th of June, our hope is to engage in a video conference with members of the committee out in Seattle who are behind this work to, you know, get some of the background information and, you know, how they went about doing it, because it's something we'd love to see happen in our community. It's not anything scary, but it is something very progressive. And so we're looking to do that. So our meeting, as long as everything is set up for that, will be fourth floor conference room of the Human Services Building on the 27th of June at 3:30 in the afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Any questions? Carol?
Leslie, can you share anything about what it is that they do in Seattle?
You have to watch the video, so I'll tell you a little bit. Seattle began this entire initiative about making sure that every member in their community feels included. And in everything that they do, the City of Seattle, and in everything that they do, inclusion is primary, and making sure that all cultures and communities are represented. So whether it's contract negotiations, whether it's requests for proposals, conversations, things that are happening within their schools, within their hiring processes, etc. So it is a huge initiative throughout the city focused on social justice, primarily social justice issues, and making sure that everyone feels included and they have a voice at the table, and there is ample and adequate representation of everyone. So there's been so much work being done already that we were rather impressed and wanted to talk more about them, about how did you get everybody there in the first place? You know, how did you get to that point? Thanks very much, Leslie. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Health Committee will be meeting on the 12th. The agenda is coming together right now, but one item I would like to report to you on is the REC partnership agreements. It's my understanding that Amy is beginning to receive positive responses from most, if not all, of the municipalities about signing them. So I want to thank this body for agreeing to renew its commitment to that partnership. We're going to have a couple of guests at the next meeting. We invited Susan, who I apologize, I still can't pronounce her last name, to the committee, but she is unable to attend. But the new mental health director, we will have her at the meeting after that, and any of you that would like to sit in are certainly welcome to do that. Just one clarification regarding the hydrilla comments and Brian Caldwell. If I use the word blatant, I don't think I did. I was carefully choosing my words about that article. I apologize on the air to Brian. I think that was Dooley's choice of words, not mine. I did say that there was some perhaps misinformation in that letter. And I don't think that it was intentional. I think it was truly just a misunderstanding.
Thank you, Frank. Any questions for Frank? All right. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
We met on June 1st. We will also have a special meeting. I want to say this right up front so members of the committee can note it. I'm currently trying to schedule that for June 19th, and it would be to discuss two items, a bond resolution for cooperative extension. I'll alert you all to the fact that the proposal is to add an amount for their needs to the larger bond issue that we'll be making for county capital improvements. The committee was in favor of this, but the bond council had to complete the official resolution wording, so that should be a very brief item. An additional topic for that meeting is the resolution that that I had to withdraw for tonight's agenda for improvements at the airport for the space to be devoted to TSA security screening and personnel. We discussed it at length at our June 1st meeting, but the majority were not ready to pass this until some more questions were answered and then weren't all in the room at the same time to move it forward for today.
Okay, so your appointment meeting is what time?
Well, I'll tell you in a second. I understand from a phone call that I got today that there's some misinformation circulating. In spite of my not supporting this resolution and not comfortable supporting it, as committee chair, I am very committed to trying to find a time, if there's a majority who support this, to move it forward. And I felt that during the meeting I made every attempt to do so. And right now, that meeting, to talk about this again, is scheduled at 5 p.m. on the 19th. I called the clerk of the legislature office. That didn't seem to conflict for any members of our committee with another meeting that's, I think, budget is scheduled at that time. We don't have any overlapping members. If that's not true, please let me know if you can't attend a meeting at 5 p.m. or the people who are in the majority who support this, find another time, and I'll make every attempt to schedule the meeting. Other than that, we had guests at our June 1st meeting from CNS Engineers. I have a resolution to present to you. It's Resolution E that was pulled from the agenda. The issue that on this one is that we select a preferred consultant for the airport who can just be selected for contracts for engineering projects and for oversight of construction projects. We allow Bob Nicholas to just select them. Periodically it comes back, and often he does, and we approve that. It sometimes comes up that if there's time, occasionally we ought to be opening up resolutions such as this to an RFP, or projects such as this to an RFP. So that was the issue. It passed committee 3-1, and I will move Resolution E, authorizing supplemental consultant agreement with CNS companies for full-time construction observation services in connection with the terminal apron rehabilitation, Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. And I so move.
Second by Jim. No, but E, is it G?
Yeah, it is.
I think F was
F was withdrawn.
Sorry.
Right?
It was pulled from the consent agenda.
G was pulled off the consent.
G is the one, Carol.
Okay. Well, it's the same issue. Same issue. I won't redo the discussion. There were five resolutions that involved CNS. And
okay, so read the title.
Okay, I will read the title. I'm sorry for that error. Resolution G, authorizing a supplemental consultant agreement with CNS companies to conduct an airport pavement management system study. It's an APMS for the Ithaca-Tompkins Regional Airport. And I will move that one.
Seconded by Leslie. Dooley.
I will be voting against this, and I need to explain why, as I did at committee. I think CNS can certainly do this job, but this is one of the handful of projects that come through when I don't think it's necessary for us, because of time constraints, to just automatically hand it over to CNS. I think there is an opportunity here to let us go and see if there's another engineering firm we'd like to give some business to. And the reason I think that's important occasionally to do each year is so that when we come around again every 5 years to send out a solicitation for proposals from engineering firms for us to select our preferred firm for the next 5 years, we might actually get some other firms applying. If we keep giving everything to CNS, then there is the general mindset among the profession that Tompkins is a CNS airport, and why bother filling out a proposal? So this is one of the few opportunities where I think we could have done that. That's why I voted against it at committee, and I'll vote against it tonight just to be consistent.
Jim?
I want to ask a sort of generic question. If, in fact, you've hired the same group for many years and they've done nothing but very successful work, you buy the same kind of car if it's a good item. You buy the same kind of food if it's a good item. Why do you want to fix something that's not broke? That doesn't make any sense to me. I will support this resolution at this point.
Do you want an answer?
If you want an answer, Dooley, go ahead.
I don't know whether Jim really wanted an answer or not. Fresh eyes.
Mike?
I don't know. I hear what Dooley's saying about having some other people bid on some of these projects, and I agree with that. But I just think here to pull the rug out at the last minute on this is not the way to do it. I think you need to sit down with the consultants and say, and I'm sorry, with the airport manager, and say, we'd like to have an opportunity to have some of these ones that are coming up in the future bid out. And I think that's the proper way to move forward with it. And I'm going to support this tonight because I don't think that opportunity was taken up here.
I have Kathy, Pat, Carol, Pam, and Leslie.
Thank you. I'm going to support this, but I don't want to give the impression that I think that we should always just keep on going the way that we've been going, because that's what we've been doing. I think it's good for us to check out. The thing is, there's always new methods. There's always people that are coming up with more efficient ways or fresh eyes, as was said. So I see no problem in supporting this right now, but I also think it's good for us to keep people on the ball, and especially our vendors and contractors, by letting them know that we're going to be asking for other input on this, not this particular thing, but in the future.
Okay, Pat.
If we were to say to the airport manager that in the future we want to offer this to a number of different companies and have options just to kind of see what's out there, despite the fact that I'm not hearing anybody say that there's been a problem with CNS or that their work has been less than satisfactory. Wouldn't we have to put out an RFP to make that decision? Wouldn't that have to be part of the decision-making process to do that? Am I correct about that or not? Because if I am, you're talking about not only a longer process, but I think there could be more costs involved, too. Joe?
Pat's right. There would have to be an RFP process, and it really goes beyond that as well, because the engineering firms that would be involved in an airport project have to be certified by the FAA. And we heard in committee the other day that, at least according to CNS, there are only four or five of those certified engineering firms in upstate New York that would be qualified to bid on this. I just want anybody who's listening to this to recognize, though, that there is competition in the process, that every 5 years we compete this preferred developer status. So we go through that process. We encourage bids. We look through it very carefully. Committees are established that include legislators to look at those things. A decision is made to select a preferred vendor. The idea of additional competition is good, but again, I have to emphasize that we can't just put engineering contracts out there for local engineering firms to bid on, because if they're not certified by the FAA, they wouldn't be allowed to compete. The last thing I would add with respect to process, because when you look at a company getting all the business, you think, how do you keep them honest with respect to fees? It's very important to know that although the FAA sets out the process of how you have to select consultants, it's a check and balance. The balance to that process is that their fees are essentially peer-reviewed. So whenever fees are quoted to us, those fees are reviewed by others in the industry to make sure that they are in line with what the market has with respect to engineering fees. So there are money checks and balances in the system as well.
I have Carol, Pam, Leslin, and Dooley.
Yeah, I'll just add to what Joe just said that first, we've had that conversation at length in committee with Bob Nicholas, and he has responded by asking CNS to come and meet with us, and I think in the last few months they've been there several times, including this entire meeting. The FAA often doesn't make funding opportunities available until the last minute, and there's often a very short deadline. So for many of these, you know, if you're not ready to jump right on them, and then they come to us for contracts at the last minute, we want to be able to respond to that, which is one of the reasons we have a preferred engineer. And then I will just also add that when you see things like pavement management systems, it sounds like anybody could do that. But airport engineering is quite unique. There aren't that many firms out there who can do it. Pavement for an airport is not the same as pavement for a road. It's very different kinds of standards. So we've come to appreciate that some of these have to be done. And then, frankly, having come to our meeting, CNS was at this meeting, they heard the entire discussion. And to tell you the truth, we put them through so much at that meeting that by the end of it, my sense was we'll be lucky to have them still agree to be our consultants after another 5 years if we keep we have some difficult discussions in committee, and I think they are understanding that we have high standards here and are committed to meeting them.
I have Pam, Leslin, Dooley, and then I want to add something.
I'll pass.
Leslin?
So, Joe, I appreciate the clarification for others who, you know, aren't aware that we do bid this process out for a preferred engineer every 5 years. However, I'm sure it'll come as no surprise to anyone that what will come out of my mouth is that it is very important that we have processes and we open up processes. If we are talking about a county that is looking to be more inclusive, we don't know all who are out there. We're taking CNS's word that there are only four others, you know, who do this type of work. Not that they're wrong. Okay. Well, we don't know. And so one of the things that is very important, if we want to continue to move in a direction and saying that we are being an organization that values inclusion, then opening the process is what we should be doing. Okay? We've had this discussion in committee. You're very right. We understand how the FAA works and how it makes those last-minute decisions. We have to jump on it. But we should also have in our back pockets, like you're saying, Carol, we have one engineering company, and we should probably have in our back pockets others who can do the work just as well, who can jump on just as easily without a lot of angst. So the reason for, you know, it and broke, don't fix it, fixing it, is to make sure that we have a process that is mirroring what we are working towards in being an inclusive environment.
At the risk of putting people to sleep, the intimate independent fee estimate that Joe referred to does exist. It's required. It's up to the airport manager to say which of the competing engineering firms will do the independent fee estimate to see that CNS's proposal is okay, and it has to be within 10%, I think, of what CNS has proposed, and that makes it okay. And these are competing engineering firms, and they're used to doing this for and with each other. There are very few of these that come through when there is time enough to not do an RFP, but to go out to bid for a simple, relatively simple project like the one that I thought we should go out for. Most of them are on such tight deadlines that we don't have a lot of choice. And a preferred engineering firm makes sense not only because of the FAA's tight deadlines most of the time, but also because if there is a problem, it means our airport manager has someone to turn to immediately without having to look around. He has someone to ask those hard questions. So I agree with that it's fine to have a preferred engineering company. I do not agree that we should keep automatically giving them every contract. And I hope I haven't belabored it too much.
This is on the floor, right? Has this been moved?
Yeah. I believe it was moved and seconded.
It's been moved and seconded.
Okay. My comment is only that I think we may fail to get many bidders or applicants when we do send this out for the every 5-year review because we are known as difficult.
I happen to know that we got two last time, Mike said.
Well, if people wish we had more, it may be because what we may call high standards. I had a conversation about a year ago last fall at NISAC with a CNS engineer. I can't remember his name, but I think we have to recognize it. It's what you said, Carol. You know, we put them through a lot that meeting, and I'm not sure. You know, we don't second guess other department heads in the way that this constantly comes up, and I find it a little disturbing. Leslie?
Martha, I want to also say that on the other side of that conversation, and you've had, I've also had other conversations with firms that say, why bid? Because it'll go to, you know, our history is that it goes to a certain person, so why bid? So it goes both ways. So it's not just one side of the coin.
All right, are we ready?
I'll just suggest a course of action, which is that we pass this one tonight. We will bring this discussion back to the committee and to Bob Nicholas. CNS is aware of the fact that we have high standards, and they do seem to be happy to work with us. They've come, they've made an effort. So I would urge just not to hold this one up now, but we will be paying attention.
And I think Bob will as well.
Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution G, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed. Whatever our number is, that's all but one. All right.
Okay.
Is that the end of your report,
yes.
Carol?
No, I have more. Facilities. Arel and Ed Marks brought us an opportunity to apply for 0% bonds for qualified energy conservation projects. We gave them a sense of the committee to pursue this. It's a very short deadline. It's through NISAC is making this available. Unfortunately, we've already been addressing energy efficiency, and for this program to have something be accepted, you have to be able to show a 20% reduction in energy use, and we don't have a lot of buildings that will qualify. The public safety building, they felt, is our best shot, and so we've given the go-ahead to look into that and prepare something, and also to look again at whether there are other buildings that they could justify including within the short time frame. Highway, we'll be issuing an RFP for a new fuel distribution system at the Public Works facility. As those tanks and pipes are nearing their 30-year lifespan, they need replacing before they get to the point of presenting any kind of hazard, so look for that to come to you when that is bid. The Pine Tree Road project continues to be our big frustration. We held a public meeting on May 22nd, and over 60 people showed up. We've met several times with our partners. I think most of us on the committee would like to be able to bring the legislature, bring forward a project for you to approve or not. There were federal funds awarded a few years ago. We had this in our budget, and we do have two partners in this, Cornell and the town of Ithaca, who also wanted to see bike and hike paths and public safety improvements where that stretch of road goes under a narrow bridge and presents a real hazard. It was included as one piece. This project was included as one piece of the package of projects that were used for leveraging as part of the Gateway to the University, the joint approach. We all have aims. All three partners had aims that we were going to achieve. We are still grappling as a committee with issues of design, slope, cost, and attempted compromise among the partners. We want to bring you a project in which all of the partners take joint responsibility to meet the needs and share the costs appropriately. At the public meeting and in emails since then, we are hearing from people on all sides at great length. Many people want to see us proceed with some sort of path and understand the need to address the safety concerns, both for pedestrians, bikers, and the cars in the area. There are many opinions about how to do so. The residents along Pine Tree Road, as you heard tonight, have particular concerns and are quite frustrated with us. They feel that some of the input they've been trying to provide for 2 years hasn't been addressed. The sense is developing, I think, that we need to take a separate and additional look in the future at the safety concerns at the south end of Pine Tree Road, which is where they live, where they have a lot of traffic, and a situation that they feel is unsafe, particularly with the trucks that pass by. They're concerned about whether this project at the north end of the road will further exacerbate an already difficult situation. So we have agreed to try to look at that in the future, what we can do on their end. The upshot is that we need another month for this project, and we aren't certain that after all this we're going to be able to make it work with the partners in any case. It's possible that we'll end up recommending the null alternative, but we are still working on trying to bring you something that we can afford and that achieves our aims.
Thank you, Carol.
That's my report.
Questions?
Yes, I do have a question. On item F that got pulled before the beginning of the meeting, was that?
Yes.
Was your reason for pulling that the CNS thing, or was it some other reason?
That was another reason that
would
probably make sense
that,
to get into.
My question was, was there another part to why you pulled it besides
this? It didn't pass
it didn't pass committee.
It failed.
What was the vote in the committee?
2-2.
The vote was 2-2. And we tried to bring it back, but there weren't enough people in the room to pass it when it came back. Maybe the people who wanted to pass it, one person left. So there were questions that came up. several kinds of questions on several aspects of this.
Okay, it'll come back. And I think we can talk about it then.
So when we first voted on it, not everybody was ready to vote.
All right, thank you very much, Carol. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Yeah, I'll try to give a short version. We met on the 16th, and we also had a special meeting before tonight's meeting. We spent quite a long time talking about the 20-year capital plan and really gave that a pretty thorough discussion. We've asked Ed Marks to come back to us with some more scenarios next time. He's going to prepare two scenarios each, showing a 3% increase in the capital budget with a 1% and a 0.5% increase in the levy for each of them. We're aiming to figure out what we want to recommend to this legislature when it comes budget time. The committee continues to be watching the efforts of our county administration to find space for the community justice programs in the old library. We're getting some good vibes out of the court system now about the possibility of being able to move the drug treatment center, or court rather, over to this building once COFA leaves. The day reporting and the other programs there, we are continuing to look seriously at some other space. Stay tuned. We'll probably have more information about that in the future. Holt Architects came in and talked to us about their design concepts and interior finishes for the Human Services Annex. They showed us some ideas of what's going to happen there. They'd already talked to the proposed occupants, so we weren't really making decisions about the fit and finish, but that was simply a matter of informing us and keeping us up to date. The legislature relocation, has now moved from the negotiation for the scope of services between our Director of Facilities and Holt Architects. We haven't given any money before. We have a resolution on this to add to the the Center of Government project to have enough money to continue with this project. And that's about $89,000, $17,000 of which is for the acoustical help that we're going to have from various consultants to Holt, because we know that's one of the major problems. That and the historical nature of the building are the two big issues that have to be dealt with. And we are going to be looking at the issue of the health department driveway that came up last year as to whether or not that deserves to be a capital project, and we have not made a decision about that. I have one resolution.
Okay, first Will and then Frank.
Mike, the $89,000, is that for architectural and engineering work, or is that actually doing the work?
It's for the design phase,
just the design part of it,
for the legislature relocation. That has nothing to do with this refitting. That will be in addition to that project later.
And secondly, any sense when we will be going to bid on the COFA?
I'm not sure. Joe, do you know the
last
timing?
Week? The bids are out. So okay. We went out to bid last week. I believe they're due back within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. Thank you.
I will say that we're optimistic as of the meeting this afternoon that we should be able to be in construction in the old courthouse by September.
Frank?
Thanks, Martha. Mike, not to sound facetious, but we had a quite a discussion earlier this evening on how many, what version of the report we would accept from Hank DeLay's committee. And Carol did her best to get us to vote on fixing a number of legislators. What some that have been interested in new desks have probably got the answer to this. What's the drop-dead date that we need to know, or the Capital Programs Committee needs to know? How big an area, or how many desks are we going to need over there? 14, 18, I mean, is there a number 20?
They're keeping 12? Their ear to the ground, the architects, on this. And what they are going to do about desks, I can answer seriously, is they're going to do a mock-up of a desk, you know, like out of plywood, for us to get a concept of what it's going to look like. We'll all be able to see it and comment on it. As far as the number, I think probably we would have an answer so that when it comes time to actually order the desks to be built, that they will know the number. And besides, we might want to have anywhere from 11 to 19. That's what our charter says. So.
Maybe we could arrange it so Dave Squires could sit with us.
I think we'd have pop-up desks. And then if we get rid of people, we just push it back down the floor.
Can we do that?
I just hope they're biodegradable.
Jim, is your hand up?
Yes, I hope they're biodegradable.
Okay. Are you ready to make the motion?
Yes, I'd like to move authorizing an amendment to agreement with Hold Architects for architectural and engineering design services in connection with renovations to the old courthouse for legislature chambers.
Seconded by Frank. Julie, had your hand up?
Yeah. Mike, did I hear you say that this will be an amendment to the Center of Government project?
That's my understanding.
Rather
that's
than being its own standalone project.
It's an amendment to that contract, yes. Because that's the contract we have at this point with Holds.
They've been working on that contract. We seems like 100 years ago now, set up this project and
it just seems as though it needs a new name now. This is not really the Center of Government project. That's all.
Okay. Anything else? And, Mike, the planned completion of the other courtroom, when is that?
We had been hoping by the end of the year, but I'll hold my breath until we have the report from the architects.
Okay. All right, ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution N, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed? One opposed. All right. All set? That it, Mike?
That's it. I was going to bring up, have Joe bring you up to speed on the TV connection, but that can wait.
Okay. All right, thank you. We have the minutes of May 15th. Will moves them. Frank seconds them. Any comments? All in favor of minutes? Raise your hand. Any opposed?
What are we doing?
Minutes.
All right, raise your hand. Opposed.
One opposed. The minutes are passed with one opposed. Motion to adjourn.
No executive.
Give me a chance.
All in favor? All right. Good night, folks. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jonathan.